Everybody ready? Come on, let's go. The Rick Flair Show! Let's go! The Rick Flair Show! Let's go! Hey, yo, what's up? This is Rick Thorne, the Biker in Black. Welcome to my show. On this episode, I got the talented Dan Smith. He's a tattoo artist, a musician, and he just came out with his own book called You'll Never Walk Alone. This book is amazing. We're going to talk about his book, his tattoo career, and his musical career. He's multi-talented, and he's in the house. Let's do this. What's up, bro? What are you doing?
Hanging out, man. It's a rare day off for me, so I'm happy.
Yeah? Have you been busy down there?
Seattle tomorrow for a couple days.
Have you been tattooing a lot?
I'm always tattooing a lot. So yeah, these days I welcome a day off, you know, with open arms.
What's the tattoo world like? I mean, in regards to, like, as far as business, is it booming?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, it's pretty much never been as popular, right? And that covers both ends of the scale, you know, whether it's cheap, quick stuff or artists you have to wait for a long time to get an appointment with. I feel like it's pretty healthy, you know.
Even during like the inflation and the economy and stuff, people are still like, I got to get tattooed.
I think so. I think there's like statistics on like what people spend money on, and usually like personal, you know, personal care or personal, you know, items or whatever. People will probably spend money on tattoos before they will rent, right? Really?
Yeah. You know,
I think these days maybe people want to feel better quicker, you know, like there's more to not feel good about. So
yeah,
we're in kind of a weird spot, but you know, I'll always be extremely grateful for my clientele and, you know, grateful to do what I get to do on a very, on a daily basis. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, dude. I mean, your shop captured. Is it in Irvine or is that Tustin?
It's Tustin, right? Close. Yeah. Pretty much, just the next Tustin, Irvine's the next city down. So it's sort of between Santa Ana and Irvine.
And you're in the old town district.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried to be around as much brick as possible in Orange County. That's not easy.
Right, exactly. The way tattoo shops are nowadays compared to back in the day, there's a lot of like, I mean, I'm not going to make this podcast all about tattoo shops or tattooing, but this is part of what you do.
Yeah.
Just for the listeners to know that might not know, back in the day, they were like a lot different. There's a lot of restrictions to run a tattoo shop now, right? Like you got to have like, got to be clean. You got to take these tests. Got to do all right. Am I right about this?
Yeah. I mean, everywhere is different, you know, like, and especially throughout the last couple of years, we noticed places obviously being able to open up quicker than others and different health departments being more involved than others. But yeah, generally speaking, you know, pays to be clean these days. You know, you can't get away with much anymore, you know, and that applies to everything, and not like you would want to get away with being, unclean, but, you know, professionalism, I feel like, has always been, you know, to me, like the dudes who kind of taught me in the way that I came up was like, always do your best and don't, you know what I mean? Don't cut any corners, you know, like take care of tattooing and tattooing will take care of you. And it's sad to see that lost on younger people these days. And they don't really join the dots in the same way that I came up. But I also understand that that's just my experience and that's my generation.
Yeah.
Pretty much our generation, right? So, you know, as we move on, I try to be open-minded, but I still feel like those core values that were sort of like drilled into me are something that I feel grateful for knowing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's like that in a lot of industries. I could say that about BMX, about music,
exactly,
about punk rock, about like,
yeah.
Like actors and stuff. Like everybody's, you know, everybody's just so accessible to everybody just to, you know, be heard and seen and stuff. So, know your roots, bro. That's the deal.
Exactly. Don't forget your roots.
That's it. Like, and speaking of your roots, New Zealand, did you tattoo when you were from New Zealand as well? Is that where you started back?
Yeah. I started getting tattooed real young. It was a much different world over there. I lived in Australia for the first 3 years of me actually really being in a tattoo shop. And it was it was a much different world back then. So yeah, I felt super lucky to get the chance to do it. Because back then everyone wasn't just tattooing, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
So yeah, getting tattooed from a really early age and just sort of absorbing everything I could about it. And for me, luckily I was playing music too. So they were both totally connected to each other, you know?
Yeah. Like
the reason I got into tattooing and wanted to draw was I wanted to replicate all the tattoos that I saw bands having, you know what I mean? Like, who got that? Why did they get it? Where did they get it? I tweaked out on all that stuff. So when I got the chance to leave, you know, I went from New Zealand to Australia, and then Australia, I ended up moving here 18 years ago. It was all music, tattooing, skateboarding, all that culture, cars, whatever. It's like, it was just like, you know, when you're at the bottom of the world, you're kind of looking out, and me and all my friends, all we wanted to do was get to California, really.
You Dude, know? I was from Missouri in the States, and I was saying the same thing. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You travel a lot further. But yeah, New Zealand, how was it tattooing? I mean, first off, how long have you been tattooing?
So I've been tattooing 20 years next month.
Wow, you're like 20.
In a shop. There was a year or two where I was kind of getting my feet wet and practicing on friends and stuff like that. But and I was lucky to do that because of music too. I feel like I had a long list of people who would always want to get something, you know?
Yeah. Well, so then you're 20. So you started 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So that means you're about 22, 23 right now.
25 next month. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. You're young. Yeah. Good on you. Hey, is it true? I got to say this real quick. I've been to Australia and I've been to New Zealand both. And I love both those places, man. They're amazing. New Zealand is so freaking green, bro. I'm like, dang, this place is sick. But do Australians and New Zealanders get along, or you just kind of like just talk like shit back and forth a little bit?
I mean, there's definitely that.
I'm not asking for dirt. I'm just saying when I was there, I felt like there was like, those Kiwis, you know, and then they're like, those Australians. And I was like, guys are rad, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The first thing an Australian will kind of like rib you on is probably having a sheep as a girlfriend growing up in New Zealand, you know, and there once that's out of the way, then you can kind of like get on with real life. You know, but no, it's funny. I mean, there's sort of like a rivalry, but I lived in Australia. I love Australia, and I have a lot to thank Australia for, again, music and tattooing, because I joined a band 2001, and we did a lot of traveling, and we ended up touring over here a few times and around the world.
What band is that?
That was called Day of Contempt.
How long were you in that band?
So we moved here in 2004 after like touring 2002, 2003. And it lasted for a couple years. You know, we moved over here pretty naive and pretty green. And it was like, you know, we were in the biggest, we were the smallest fish in the biggest pond instead of the biggest fish in the smallest pond over there. So, you know, that's life, right? You live and you learn. And we all tried to get through moving our whole lives in a suitcase as well as possible, but it kind of brought some hard times.
Of course. Well, when your music's like that, you know, you got to like go for it. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, it's like tattooing and riding and skating and stuff. You know, none of it's like, oh, here you go on a silver platter. Of course, nowadays kids, I think, get further with music and tattooing and all of it because of, you know, the internet and Instagram and stuff like that. But what was it like though back then? Like when you were just back to the tattooing real quick, I wanted to ask you this. In New Zealand, What was it like back then as far as like how people perceived people with tattoos? Was it still kind of like one of those sayings like, those guys are crazy, or was it mainstream there already?
Well, it definitely wasn't mainstream, but New Zealand obviously has the epic like cultural element to tattooing. You know, tattooing goes back as far as the country does, you know what I mean? So like there's that. And that's something that I noticed on my travels elsewhere that, you know, like even moving over here, we ended up living behind this surf shop on PCH in Corona del Mar, and we were all tattooed and stuff. And the cops would give us shit and people would kind of like give us weird looks. And that's a really nice area. And we just ended up there. And it was like, it was kind of a trip to realize that, like, oh, you know, I also,
yeah.
Yeah, man, I feel super lucky to have grown up around that culture. You know what I mean?
And yeah,
it's eye-opening and, you know, I kind of came up with a very open mind to different cultures and different people. You know, New Zealand's super multicultural, and I went to a pretty rough like boys school that had all the Polynesian, you know, Pacific Islanders there and Maori and Asian and
the heart of, I mean, Orange County's nice, dude. Where your shop is like Irvine, Tustin. I used to live down there. Orange, yeah. Costa Mesa, yeah. Honey, all those neighborhoods are Newport. It's like, did you ever think that you would come that far from what you just said, this school you're in from New Zealand, to have your own shop in Orange County? Was that ever a goal, or was that just something that's like, you know what? I think I'm going to do this if I have the opportunity. Or was that a dream?
I mean, the dream, if I'm being honest, the dream was just to do it. I never had a plan at all. Even when I did like the TV stuff and worked in LA for like 6 years at Cat Shop, like it wasn't like all planned out, like, okay, in 3 years I'm gonna, you know, be a business owner, or like, I kind of I don't know, I didn't really think that far ahead. And I think it's because I was always on the go, and everything with the band and whatever else, it was just like, hey, let's just make sure today and tomorrow are pretty good, and whatever comes next week I'm lucky to have, you know. So
yeah,
as far as like where I ended up, you know, when we toured here, there was a whole bunch of bands from Orange County. I mean, as you know, music scene in Orange County is huge, you know, and yep. I'm even wearing a TSOL shirt right now, but like growing up, it was a destination, you know? So we got welcomed by I love LA, and I definitely miss certain elements of LA, but I grew up around the beach, you know, I'm a beach kid, and having the beach so close here and the mountains and all that kind of stuff, it's just a bit more of a balanced life. And, you know, you get older, you try to, you know, mellow out a little bit, whether you like it or not. And, you know, it's home.
And I'm just going to dive right into this, dude, because this is the main thing that I wanted to talk to you about. And I feel like you should promote it a lot, is your book. Let's talk about your book. I have it right here.
Oh, cool. Awesome, man. Yeah. I started doing these little shoe tattoos mainly because I saw one being done by a tattooer called Ben Grillo, who's an amazing influence, amazing tattooer. He did one on a friend of mine, and I got to sort of like perch on his shoulder and observe this tattoo going down. And being totally enamored with like fine line and black and gray shading, you know, especially after moving to LA, I was like, yeah, I want to kind of give that a go. And I ended up doing I think the first shoe I did was on Toby. Our friend Toby. And
oh, really? What was it? What's his shoe? Is it a Van?
So it's in there. It's a little Air Max, and it's next to like a necklace that he has. And that was like, I think that was the smallest one I've ever done.
You know what page it is?
I'm not sure what page. But that was, I learned a lot with that one, you know. And then the glory of Instagram, I put it up and someone was like, hey, that's cool, can I get one? I'm like, okay, cool. Yep. And then someone was like, that's cool, can I get a Chuck Taylor? And I'm like, Chuck Taylor? Okay, yep, cool. And then
someone's like, I want flip-flops.
And someone's like, yeah. So anyway, fast forward, I've probably done over like 200 shoes. Yeah, anywhere from Doc Martens to Chuck Taylors to Vans to like track shoes to like snowboard boots, rugby boots, like you name it. So it was something I never thought would like take off the way that it did, but it totally did. And Beyond the Streets, which is an amazing sort of event that happens every year, and they do stuff all throughout the year with a whole bunch of different artists and super cool stuff, approached me and wanted to put out the book. So I couldn't say no. I had all the pictures, I had all the line drawings, and yeah, it was a no-brainer. So.
This is so sick, dude. I brought this up to my good friend, Mark Mahoney, which you probably know and everyone knows.
I love Mark. Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, dude, that book's such a rad idea. you know, because no one's never done it. You know what I mean? And it's like, and it's so punk rock too, because we're from that punk rock generation. Your title, you know what I mean? It reminds me to be like, you'll never walk alone. It's like, you'll never walk alone.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like that's, you know, it's like that vibe, bro. And so I dig it, man. It's, and I'm, hey, thanks for the book. I'm pretty stoked about it.
Of course. I gotta send Mark one, man. If he liked it, I'll send him one.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to have it, because it's like, you know, it's not like I mean, it's something that I've done, and I'll travel all over the place and people will ask me for them, but it's like I do tons of other stuff too. So it's kind of fun just to like document that as a whole and be like, yeah, I've done a shitload of shoes for some reason. So yeah.
Oh yeah, well you do. I mean, you did the side of my head recently, right there.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, cool, man.
You're good. Well, yeah, you're good at everything you do. But this is a cool angle, man. You know, just when you think like, oh, what can someone do different? This is extremely different, and this is really cool. How did you hook up with Beyond the Streets? Those guys, friends of yours, or?
So Roger Gassman, he's definitely super accomplished with everything he's done. He's done a bunch of documentaries. He's, you know, he puts on the whole thing. He did the Banksy documentary. He's done crazy stuff, and he's a historian, you know, about all things cool. And he's a good friend. He's always been a big supporter of me, and he just kind of approached me with it. And I've done books myself, you know, and I know how much work goes into it. And I was sort of, because of that, I was sort of taking a bit of a break. So it was super nice for him to sort of like steer the ship, and I sent him all the pictures and all the line drawings, and we went back and forth with like layouts and themes and stuff like that. But he's the man, you know? So yeah, super, super lucky and kind of humbled that he asked me to do it. So yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. And where could someone get the book?
So beyondthestreets.com is the only place you could get it right now. So I'm sort of funneling everything to them. And then moving forward, as like stuff's opening up and conventions and whatever else, like you'll probably be able to get it most places.
So and you think you'll be able to take this when you go tattooing? You could take books with you, obviously.
Yeah, I think so. Or in the shop, like my shop, Captured Tattoo, I'll have them here soon. So yeah.
Awesome, dude. It's a rad book, man. I'm really stoked for you. I mean, I think it's a huge accomplishment to make a book happen. I think that's everybody's kind of like, you know, as
you know,
an
what,
artist,
man? Like in
dream,
in
you know,
of, like digital age where like everything's just like, you know, it's kind of beautiful just to hold something physical, and you know, maybe in 50 years someone will like come across it in an old, like, you know, chest in someone's attic or something, and it's like blow the cobwebs off it and like, the dust
this
off
is
it
called and, a what is that what is yeah. that grandpa it's,
yeah.
called a, it's called a book
yeah
we used how do to you spell them. It is it as old as the dinosaurs? How do you feel about, okay, everyone has their own opinion, speaking of, what you know, something that you could hold, you know, and hang on your wall. As you can see, this, I designed this because this is how I grew up with all this stuff on my wall. And obviously you're got all stuff on your wall. And what do you think about NFTs?
NFTs still very intriguing to me. I actually did one with ComplexCon like 2 years ago. And the thing that I liked about it was that I offered whoever won it or, you know, whoever was the highest bidder or whatever, I offered to do the image that I created as a tattoo for free. And I know I was the first person to do that. So I was stoked in that sense, because it kind of brought both of those worlds together. Like, all right, it's this weird idea that most people are still trying to get their heads around, and it has value, but to some people it has no value, and other people it's all the value. But then I'm still including something that ultimately has the most value to me, which is doing a tattoo that someone can look at forever and hopefully be stoked on. So as a whole, I you know, I'm still learning. It's intriguing. And like I said before, like I always try to move forward in life with an open mind. So yeah, we'll see where it goes, you know, but there's some cool stuff happening with them. Is it all cool? Probably not. Is cool stuff happening in the stuff that we grew up with? It's not all cool. You know, it's never going to be, right? It's just another thing. It's just another thing that if you find value in it and it's positive, then cool. But, you know, I'm not the kind of guy to pick stuff apart and have, life's too short for all that stuff as well. You know what I mean? So
Yeah. I mean, my take on it is that, like, I mean, having an open, you said the key word, having an open mind, because I think when people get older, they get set in their ways. I'm sure that's in tattooing. I'm sure it's like that in BMX. It's like that in everything. And, and as long as it's art driven, I dig it. When things just seem to be so just about, this is a value, this is worth money, this is what I want. This is what I want. And it's money driven. Sometimes that takes a lot of the creativity out of it. And so, you know, that's my only thing with that is that, like, it seems like it's kind of a money driven environment rather than it is like a creative space, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm sure it's a creative space as well.
It's, you know, funny, what I mean? Right? Because you could find a flyer from 1981 and someone could have the most value in that. To us, it's like, oh my God, that flyer, like who built it? But the rest of the world probably doesn't give a shit about the flyer from 81 that's stained and got coffee stains on it and shit like that, right?
Yeah.
So really, art has always been, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder and the value comes from within.
Exactly.
Not even really what you're holding. You know what I mean? Like, so to me, real quick though, like my friend Matt, who sings in Avenged Sevenfold, they did something super cool with NFTs that to me, sort of changed the way that I looked at it. Was like, they're a great band. They've taken my band on tour a bunch of times. Very, very grateful for those guys. But they created the NFT as basically like a token or like a membership to their fans, right? Which is like, and they're all about giving back to their fans. If you have like, if you're part of like the team, you know. So it's almost like it's not just about all these dudes trying to come in and infiltrate. It's about them offering something to their fans for being super cool and super dedicated, where like he'll take one of them on a golf trip for one day, or,
oh, cool,
the guitarist will give someone who owns one of these NFTs or the token a free guitar. And this happens every year. You know, you can skip merch lines. You have access to all this like exclusive stuff that actually, that's where the value kind of comes into it.
Yeah. So
when you look at it in that sense, it's like labels have always tried to fuck with bands. You know what I mean? They've never really looked out for bands in the best way. So if the band now can kind of take a DIY approach about giving back to their fans that in turn help them be a band, like that's all good in my eyes. That's win-win, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, there are a lot of cool shit. There is a lot of cool shit going on with them. And he did Toby's podcast, One Life, One Chance, just like we both did, and explained it like really, really well. So if anyone's trying to, you know, educate themselves a little more on it, I would suggest to listen to that and then check out our podcast as well.
Yeah, check out both of ours, dude, because we kill it. I mean, that sounds to me like that's a cool approach, because it's more than just like digital art. It's like, hey, guess what? You can cut the line, or hey, you get this bonus pack, or you get this guitar, or you get this autograph. So they're still actually getting something that they could hang on the wall. You know what I mean? So It's kind of like, yeah. I'm not against it by any means. I'm not against it at all. I recorded a song for NFT from a company actually in New Zealand, and they do the fluff world. They do all the rabbits. And they wanted me to redo their main song. And I had to learn what like MetaMask was. I had to learn about all this like cryptocurrency and how to transfer it to, you know, Binance and all this. I didn't know any of it, dude. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we recorded this song, and basically it's like a punk version of their like trap rap, like theme song. So I'm not against it at all. I definitely am not against it. I'm still wrapping my head around it too. What I wrap my head around it most is, and I'm not trying to make this about NFTs and shit, you know, just came up in my head, is you sell it for like cryptocurrency, but you cash the cryptocurrency in for US dollars.
Uh-huh.
I guess you could use cryptocurrency to pay for stuff. People use cryptocurrency to pay for stuff too. Isn't that like the kind of a thing?
Yeah, not. I mean, not with me. I don't accept that for tattoos or anything. But
I'm saying, like, if you own a lot of cryptocurrency right now, how would you cash it in? What would you cash it in for?
Yeah, I guess US
dollars,
right?
Or wherever dollars you live. I mean, wherever you live. I mean, it's US because I live in the US. So I don't know. I'm just trying to wrap my head around it too. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't
know. When you know, let me know, and maybe. You know.
We're just old punkers and shit. We just want to go to the punk show, man. We don't want to deal with all this technology.
Oh, man.
Like a Zoom meeting that crashed earlier. You know what I mean?
Right.
whatever. It's all good. But you know what, dude? Let's talk about your music real quick. What band are you in currently right now?
So I'm in Sharp Shock. Yep. In an American accent, it's Sharp Shock.
Sharp Shock.
Just so, because every time I say it, someone's like,
say it again.
Yeah. Sharp Shock.
Sharp Shock. Well, it depends on where you're from. Damn. No, down there. No. It'd be Sharp Shock, man. What's that? I mean,
if you're from, England, New Zealand, Australia, you're good, but.
New York would be like, hey, Tony, it's Sharp Shock. These fucking guys, they kill it. We got to go see these guys, right? Exactly. Where's CBGBs? Oh, it's gone.
Yeah.
Did you ever play CBGBs?
So this is a very sad story, because it was in, I think, 2001 or two, we were touring the States for the first time, two tours combined. You know, when that happens sometimes, I think it was on a Sunday for a matinee, two tours combined. And because we were the opening band on one of the tours, I feel like both opening bands on both tours kind of got like cut from the show.
Damn.
So we were at CBGB's and we saw the show and we were there, but we didn't play. So, but honestly, like I said earlier, like being from the bottom of the world and kind of like really looking outside of where I was living for all my inspiration and everything that I loved, even just seeing the street sign and seeing the awning of CBGB's was enough. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
none of this shit should have ever happened. So to me, like, I'll always have that kind of like childish enthusiasm when it comes to like landmarks or seeing, you know, seeing stuff that I remember watching skate videos of or, you know, all that kind of stuff as a kid. So.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm the same way, man. I went to New York in 87 and we rode our bikes in front of CBGB's. I
was wow, man.
You know what I mean? Like that was like, just part of like, I think it's just the time when we were born and the way, you know, the music and the punk scene was different before the mainstream and stuff like that. So you remember grasping, like, I remember looking at like records and being like, wait a second. You knew every dude in every band.
Yeah.
You'd be like, wait a second. In the DC scene, Right to Spring is half of Fugazi. What the? No way. And then you start going, well, what other bands is that guy in? He was in the band with this drummer and this guy. And you were like just so absorbed in it. It was fun. You know, it was like you knew like who was what and what was what. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And a couple of days ago, I just did the Teen Idols cover with the studded wristband. I just did that on Tad from DC, who's worked at Jinx Proof, which is, you know, again, worlds colliding, right? It's like inspiration of like, I always heard of Jinx Proof. That's where Toby and a bunch of the New York bands would get tattooed, Rancid, all that stuff, you know? And so to me, it was like in the, you know, on the back, like, oh, get tattooed by someone at Jinx Proof. Like, oh, okay, cool. And then Tad's worked there since the mid to late 90s, you know what I mean? And he's getting the Teen Idols cover on his leg that when I saw it, I was just like, oh my God, you know, back in the day. And then it was like, fast forward 20 years or whatever. And it's like, I'm doing that tattoo on a kid from DC who's lived that, who's worked at Jinx Proof, who's wanting to get a tattoo from me in my shop out here in Orange County. And it's like, dude, if that isn't just like all meant to be and super positive and stuff that you can get hyped on to like keep on keeping on, you know, like what is, you know what I mean? I doubt there's, you know, people who work in an office doing the same thing. Like, you know what? Like Brian from DC came to the office. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it just doesn't exist, man. So it's a full on like special thing that we've been a part of and are a part of. And I just think it's super important never to like take that for granted, you know?
Absolutely. I got a story about Jinx Proof. We were on Warped Tour and I was there when they did that. Don't they have Rancid H2O tattoo?
Exactly. Yeah.
Toby got it on his kneecap.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And then I think Lars got it. And then I got tattooed. And then Tim got tattooed. Cause that was a day off. And that was what we did. So
you
I know
were there
that
as well.
Yeah.
What?
See, I was there, bro. I was there when I think Tim used to have a Brody tattoo.
Okay.
Back in the day. And I was there when that happened.
Yeah.
So I just happened to be like, you know, not to bring up, you know, anything weird, but I'm just saying it was like, it was a big deal, you know, but at the time it didn't seem like a big deal because we were all just friends and we were all in Warped Tour and we had a day off and we all wanted to go get tattooed. And I'm like, I want to go.
And, that's nuts, man. Life's a trip. Like if we didn't do this podcast, I wouldn't know that you were in there. And if I didn't tell that story and
Cat
didn't come out and get that tattoo, like.
It's weird, right? It's all connected. Yeah. Because those guys got well, I'm going to say it's like a hooligans tattoo, but isn't it? It was a rancid H2O. Didn't it say it's, hooligans?
Yeah, it's a skull with like, you know, rancid H2O tour and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, crazy.
So
wild stuff. I mean, well, yeah. When you're on that tour though, you know, you become friends with everyone because, you know, you're in a parking lot all day and people just hanging out and
you
know, days off, you want to go do stuff. So yeah, but Jinx Proof, props to them. Rad Shop, been around for a long time. You know, I give them props.
And you know, you guys coming down to New Zealand and stuff like way back, like that was all just, again, like it solidified to me what I needed to be doing and that I was on the right path. You know, it's like, I never would have thought any of it would have happened, but you know, my first band played that first Warped Tour that you guys all came down for, you know what I mean? And
it was in New Zealand.
Yeah. And so it's like that would happen and then there would be nothing for months and months and months. And we'd put on our own little shows here and there, but it's like when that especially Warped Tour showed up with that amount of bands and it's skaters and bike riders and just like everything, it was just like overload, you know? So
Cool.
Motivation.
Yeah. Well, I like the fact that you take action. Cause I know a lot of people are like, man, they say to me, oh, dude, you're lucky. What are you talking about? You got to chase it, bro. Like unless you're happy with where you're at, which is totally cool, man, ain't nothing wrong with it. You don't need to move out to the West to be accomplished or feel like you're part of something. I totally get that. But for me, I did. Cause that's the life I wanted to live.
Yeah.
And that's what I say to anyone out there. If there's something you want to do, you got to chase it. You chased it and you chased it in a lot of different ways with the music and the tattooing. Pretty cool, dude. You know what I mean? It's pretty sick to be able to say that, you know?
Yeah. Thanks, man. To me, there's no real other way to do it, you know? And I think having that enthusiasm to just keep doing it and you know, it's like, I'm not 18 anymore. You know, I'm totally aware of newer bands and newer, you know, the next big thing tattooer, you know, who's a kid, you know what I mean? And I'm like, man, like you think back and you're like, dude, on paper, like we're pretty different. Cause back then there was no information to be had. There was no, you know, I don't want to talk about like I'm the old guy. Cause I'm definitely not, but like,
yeah, I get it. I know you'd be like, dude, just don't like I was a kid.
I think as you move on, if you take equal amounts, inspiration and enthusiasm from what's happening, as you did from back then, like you'll be good, you know, but like I said, life will get you if you let it, you know, it's about not letting it and playing the game. So you always have one up on it, you know?
Yeah. And the main thing you said too, is keep an open mind. And I think that that's very important in anything you do, especially when you multitask, you know what I mean? You can't be, you know, I told myself a long time ago, I don't want to be one of those old guys, like still bitter about like not,
nah,
doing what I wanted to do. You know what I mean? Look, you want to be hardcore? You want to be underground? I'm not against it.
Yeah.
You want to go do your thing? I'm not against it. But don't be mad that you didn't get as far as you did because you were the only one really kind of holding yourself back.
Yeah.
And I feel like some of those dudes come at me sometimes. I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? Like, just go for it, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed a little with the TV stuff, you know, it's like, I never would have dreamed that I would have even got the opportunity to do that. But to me, it was like, you know, if people saw where the town, the suburb that I lived in West Auckland, New Zealand, you know, it's like, I'm not going to say no to that kind of opportunity after moving to LA. Like,
exactly.
No, that was given to me, you know, and I just feel like, I always feel like because of where we come from, there's like an obligation to, if you're getting that opportunity, then that's a special thing. You got to step up and you got to rep where we're from and where, and you know what I mean? Rip that rule, you know? And I took it as an opportunity to like wear tattooers I loved shirts or bands I loved, or put, you know, all the people doing really great things that maybe usually wouldn't have got a chance to be on a TV show like that or a platform. I'm going to tattoo them. I'm going to tell their story. I'm going to hype that stuff up. Cause to me, like, I didn't want to just do another memorial tattoo. You know, I was like, man, there's so many people doing really cool shit that need the exposure. And you know, that was my decision to make. And so, yeah, I don't have any regrets about that, but I think it's like the classic, like, human fault is to just instinct is like, oh, should, you know, we try to keep everything like tight and close and like, this is our world and the world shouldn't know about it, but it always ends up finding out about it. And it's not always a bad thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, you mean by keeping, you're saying by keeping things like, this is our world, bro. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I get it. Yeah. I mean, you know, Ian McKay said a great line, and me and you get along with music a lot. So you'll know this line, and classic band, you know, the best ever. He says, you tell me that you want to be different, but you just change for the same.
Yeah.
Always stuck with me.
Oh, man.
Like, it always made me question, like, what am I doing? What am I doing that's so different? How am I? What?
Yeah. If you want clarity of lyrics, he's pretty much, you know what I mean? Like,
Ian McKay from Minor Threat, by the way, anyone listening, look it up.
Yeah. To me, at the bottom of the world, listening to Minor Threat, going like, oh, okay. Like, you know, there's music that speaks to you, and then there's music that really like makes sense to you, you know,
resonates, like, whoa.
And it gives you that confidence or that power to just be like, you know what, like, this is me, you know. It gives you the comfort of knowing that what you're about isn't as weird as it can be. It's not wrong. You know what I mean? Like,
because
you're a weirdo, it doesn't mean you're wrong, you know? So shout out to Ian and all the other amazing vocalists and lyricists that inspired kids to move on and do great things.
Yeah. That's the kind of punk rock I was into. I was more into the, like, you know, make a difference, make a change kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's different types. You said something earlier, like, you're not always going to like it. There was a lot of punk that, and kind of popular bands that I was like, I didn't really cling to them, but I didn't hate them. You know what I mean? Like, how many people do you know that have a band that you might like them, but their music, you're like, it's cool, but it's not my thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens a lot.
That's the beauty of it, right? We fit in when we fit in.
Get in where you fit in, bro.
Or don't fit in where you're supposed to fit in. You know, that's the best part.
All right. I want to ask you a cheesy question before we leave. I want to ask you this. Because people ask me all the time, oh, what do you like better? You like music? You like riding bikes? And do you like tattooing or music better?
Oh, man.
Exactly. Don't you hate that question?
Well, the thing is, and we touched on it before, right? Which is like tattooing or riding a bike. It's a very personal experience. You know, it's just yours. You know, you can ride for 8 hours a day, or you can ride for 10 minutes, and it's the same thing. Music, there's so much other stuff that goes along with it. But to me, I'm a musician. I have to play music in some capacity, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Some capacity, right? I've been filling in with H2O lately, which has been amazing.
So rad.
All kinds of stuff, you know, been in like three or four bands over the, you know, the last, like,
I might need you to fill in my band, bro. I hire out. Let's go. I'm playing Shredfest this weekend.
Yeah, man.
Let's do it, bro. Come on.
You know, like the time you spend, like, to me, playing on stage is what you potentially drive for 8 hours a day to do, right?
Yep.
So all the bullshit that you deal with, and all the flat tires, and all the like broken backs, and, you know, lifting merch, and all the other stuff, like, it's because of that 30 minutes or an hour or whatever you're playing on stage, you know? And that's such a beautiful thing. But to me, like, I think I'd probably side with tattooing because of that personal kind of nature, you know, that connection that you have between you and someone else. You know, me giving something permanent to someone that they can again, hopefully always look at, you know, in 20 years and be like, man, I remember this, even if it's just like walking in and picking something off the wall. I'm not saying that every tattoo has to have like the most meaning and all that stuff, but giving something so permanent to someone is a privilege, you know what I mean? And it's a privilege, and I'm grateful for it.
Oh yeah, dude. That was a rad answer. Well, cool, man. Well, check it out, dude. Let everybody know where Captured, right? Your Instagram for your tattoo shop, and then your
Captured with a D, Captured Tattoo, and it's in Old Town Tustin in Orange County. The band is Sharp Shock. Yep. Instagram, all that stuff.
It's Sharp Shock. Sharp Shock.
Shake Shack. Don't get it mixed up with Shake Shack.
Or Sugar Shack.
It's a whole different thing.
That is. It's a trip. Don't go there. And then your Instagram.
Dan Smith Ism. ISM.
What's that mean?
It's just me. It's a Dan Smithism, right? It's like my
Smithism.
That's what Instagram is. It's a constantly updated portfolio, I guess, of what I'm up to. So
that's badass, dude. I appreciate you taking the time. Anybody out there, get his book. You'll never walk alone.
Thanks, man. I appreciate
you.
You'll
never walk alone. You got to write that song, bro. Got to get that. You know what I mean? Let's do it. Let's do it. We'll talk about the book, you know?
In the songs?
Yeah, in the song, you know?
This
we'll be
song
like,
is called Chuck Taylor's. All right, here we go.
Song is for flip flop. The breakdown would be flip flop. Jin 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 jin. Flip flops.
Love it.
Anyways, dude, I really appreciate you. Sorry for the mix up earlier. My computer crashing out there. That's where I picked it back up.
No worries. We'll cut and paste it and make it look seamless.
Yeah, dude, we're gonna look sweet, bro. Awesome, dude. Well, listen, I owe you I'm gonna send you some photos of 7-inch records I owe you for tattooing me. I know. I didn't forget. You think like this guy's bouncing out on me?
A great form of payment. I love it.
Yeah, dude, I got you. Well, cool, brother. Well, have a great day. I want you to stay rad. Much love to you, and thanks a lot for taking time. Appreciate
you, bro. I appreciate you.
All right, peace out. Later, bro. Bye.